17. The twins appeared somewhere dark and loud. The first impression they had was of a raging fire in the distance and a horrible, cacophonous sound like a tractor-trailer crash or a building collapse. As their eyes adjusted and their brains made more sense of the data coming in, they quickly realized that the sound of the raging fire was actually the roar of an enthusiastic crowd, and the red light in the distance came from stage lighting. The cacophony resolved itself into energetic drumming and an overly active guitarist showing off his prowess on the pedal steel. After a quick look around, Brewster and Maddie saw that they were standing in the aisle at the very top of the balcony of a theater about two-thirds full of people. On the stage, the four men standing in front of a band all said, "Giddy up!" Then one of them sang, "Oom-papa, oom-papa, mau, mau," in an improbably deep voice. Maddie and Brewster both asked, "Where are we?" Philip looked down at the stage, then back to the twins, as if he couldn't believe they had to ask.
"An Oak Ridge Boys concert. Where are your parents?"
he asked. Brewster said,
"What?"
Philip shouted over another round of Papa Mau Maus,
"I asked where your parents are."
Maddie said, "We know. We heard. How can you ask us that after what you did to them?" She began squirming, trying to wriggle free from Philip's grip. He clamped down tighter on her forearm.
"Please stop that. Matheson, please, oh no."
The vague form of two people started to appear, but Maddie, Brewster, and Philip all vanished before the two fully materialized. The environment around Philip and the twins remained dark and loud, but everything else changed. Being students at an American high school, Brewster and Maddie immediately recognized that they were underneath a set of gym bleachers. They stood surrounded by thin metal supports and struts. From above, they heard the sounds of a basketball game and saw slivers of light with small glimpses of legs and backs through the gaps between the aluminum slats. Brewster shook his head.
"What is going on?"
Philip said,
"It's an emergency macro I wrote. If I identify someone as a threat, it automatically teleports me away from them to one of the several places that nobody who knows me would ever think I'd go. Where are your parents? Are they okay? Will you please stop trying to get away from me?"
Maddie grabbed one of the bleacher's supporting struts and tried with all of her strength to pull herself free of Philip.
"Our parents are still frozen, thanks to you," she grunted. "But we've hidden them somewhere safe, and no, I won't stop trying to get away."
Brewster knew a good idea when he saw one and followed his sister's lead, grabbing a strut himself and pulling in the opposite direction from Maddie. Philip stood between them, holding both of their arms as best he could, grimacing and straining as if he were being pulled apart by wild stallions. Maddie hooked her arm around the strut and used her free arm to strike Philip about the ribcage with her cane.
"Please, ah," he said. "Don't stop that! Ah, I didn't freeze your parents! Ah!"
"Then who did?"
Brewster asked. For just a moment, they saw the forms of two people begin to appear. Then Brewster, Maddie, and Philip teleported away. Philip continued to pull on both of the twins as hard as he could, but Brewster and Maddie no longer had struts to pull on for leverage, so they both fell into him from opposite directions before all three spun and tumbled to the floor.
"Them,"
Philip said.
"They froze your parents. Must have done it after I left."
Maddie and Brewster both winced as their eyes adjusted to much brighter and more plentiful light. The hot air smelled of dust. Brewster looked at Philip, opening his mouth to speak, but blinked in surprise, pointed behind Philip and asked,
"What the hell?"
"Language,"
Philip said, but he also twisted around and looked. Behind a long chain of threadbare velvet ropes, slung from peeling brass-plated stanchions, an ancient, open-topped Mercedes-Benz sat on cracked tires. A beat-up old mannequin stood in the back seat, wearing a Nazi uniform, a toothbrush mustache hand-painted above its upper lip. A hand-lettered sign said, "This Mercedes-Benz staff car was..." Then in much smaller letters continued, "Possibly..." Before concluding in huge bright red letters, "Used by Hitler!" Brewster and Maddie looked around the room. Rusted farm implements, their wooden handles half rotted away, covered one entire wall, all labeled and displayed like prized artifacts. Along another wall, a hideously malformed wax dummy of a torturer wielding a metal poker, its tip painted bright red, loomed above an equally ill-proportioned wax replica of a young woman in a peasant blouse, strapped to a wooden table. A glass-topped display case dominated the center of the room, along with a garishly colored hand-painted sign that read, "What is Enigme?" Philip said,
"This is a roadside tourist trap in Wyoming. Ghastly, isn't it? They have the nerve to call it a museum."
He used his free right hand to lift himself to a crouch, in the process realizing that his right hand was only free because he'd let go of Maddie as they fell. Maddie noticed as well, and immediately scrambled away from him in a sort of panicked crab walk, then sprang to her feet. Philip lunged for her, his right arm extended to its limit, his hand grabbing at thin air. With his left, he kept hold of Brewster, who hadn't managed to quite get his feet under him, and stumbled along behind Philip in an attempt to regain his balance. Maddie swung at Philip's hand with her cane, walking backward, feeling her way with her left hand extended out behind her. She managed to keep Philip just out of grabbing range, but she stumbled over velvet ropes and her cape, then ran backward into the side of the ancient Mercedes. She stepped up on the running board and clambered over the side into the seating compartment. Philip said,
"Look, get down from there! You'll knock Hitler over!"
"You get back!"
she shouted. She held up her cane like a batter waiting for a pitch.
"Let go of my brother and tell us what's going on!"
"I'm happy to explain. I want to explain. But I have to hold on to you both while I do it."
Brewster finally managed to get his feet beneath him and started pulling away from Philip as hard as he could. He grabbed at Philip's fingers, trying to pry them off his arm.
"Why? Why not just let us go and tell us?"
The forms of two people began to take shape. Philip and Brewster disappeared. Maddie remained, standing in the antique car next to the Hitler mannequin. She watched as two men appeared. Both wore wizard hats and robes decorated with bits of black fur and plates of metal armor. Their hats had curved horns sprouting from their sides, like cartoon Viking helmets. One of the men was smaller in every dimension, but well-proportioned, with a handsome face, despite the fact that his eyes were about an inch too close together. His eye distance affected his nose, which affected his mouth and cheeks, and in the end, the overall impression was that of a good-looking man whose face had been sharpened. He caught a brief glimpse of the forms of Philip and Brewster as they teleported away and shouted,
"Crap! Philip took off again!"
The second man was physically unremarkable, larger than his friend, but not by much, out of shape, but not horrendously so, and gawky, but not so gawky as for it to become interesting at all. He had keen eyes, a ruddy, flushed complexion, and an excited grin on his face. He held a smartphone only a few inches from his face, as if lessening the distance between himself and the screen would get the information it displayed into his brain faster.
"Yes, but he shan't evade us for long. I swear he shan't. We will catch him. We will catch the hell out of him, and then..."
The larger man's impassioned speech lost steam when he saw his friend staring at him, unimpressed.
"Yeah, okay,"
the larger man said.
"Just give me one sec to see where he went, and I'll plot the jump."
Maddie, still standing in the back seat of the Mercedes-Benz, looked down at the men and asked,
"Who are you?"
Both men jumped. Then the smaller man replied,
"Who are you?"
Maddie asked,
"What do you want with Philip?"
What do you want with Philip?
I won't answer any of your questions until you answer one of mine. The larger man said,
Okay. One thing we want to do with Philip is tell him we captured his friends. I'm talking about you, by the way. Magnus, I suggest you just grab her.
Hearing the name Magnus jogged Maddie's memory. She had only ever met two people named Magnus, and she'd met them at the same time, long ago, when their father had taken her and Brewster to see his act. She knew instantly that it was these two men standing below her now. She remembered that the smaller, more appealing one's last name was Rex, and the other's last name was some sort of gagging sound she couldn't quite recall. Magnus Rex shrugged.
Fine, if you say so, Magnus.
And walked toward Maddie with his hands outstretched, as if he intended just to reach up and grab her like a book on a shelf, exactly as his friend had suggested. She pulled off her top hat and thrust her hand inside.
Stay back, I'm warning you.
He furrowed his brow, as if confused by her warning, but kept coming. Maddie glanced into the hat as she swiped through menu options. Magnus Rex was stepping over the velvet ropes, nearly within grabbing range, when, driven by adrenaline and panic, she pulled the rabbit out of the hat and threw it at him in one inelegant motion. The rabbit homed in on Magnus Rex's throat. He fell backward, shouting in shock. He pulled the rabbit away from his exposed neck and threw it as far away from himself as he could. The rabbit rebounded off the ceiling and shot, like a line drive, for the throat of the other Magnus, who grabbed it by the hind leg, swung it through the air a few times to gain momentum, and flung it toward Maddie. Maddie managed to duck in time for the rabbit to fly over her head, hitting the Hitler mannequin full force. Hitler fell backward, pivoting over the door of the car, hitting the cinder block wall behind, and breaking apart into nothing but a collection of wooden body parts held together by an old uniform. The whole clattering jumble fell between the car and the wall, the fake rabbit still brutalizing it as they went. Maddie watched it fall, then turned to see Magnus Rex rushing toward her with murder in his eyes. She knew she wouldn't have time to produce another rabbit. She threw her hat on and reared back with her cane, ready to swing for Magnus Rex's head if need be. He kept coming. As she started to bring the cane around in a graceful arch, a hole seemed to open in space just to her left. She barely had enough time to mentally register the fact that the portal was there before Philip reached out, grabbed a handful of her shirt, and yanked her through. Maddie stumbled, her cane still swinging as she emerged from the portal. She fell into Philip while hitting him in the arm. They tumbled to the ground in a heap. Maddie rolled away from him and into a crouch, ready to attack the first thing that looked like trouble. The ground felt gritty and hot beneath her fingers. Bright light reflected up at her, instinctively forcing her face into a grimacing squint. She swiveled her head to the left and the right. The ground appeared to be flat, white, and featureless, almost to the horizon, where rolling brown hills waved and wobbled in the hazy distance. Brewster ran over and helped her to her feet.
Where are we?
She asked.
The Bonneville Salt Flats. What happened? Two guys in fur showed up and attacked me.
Philip, still lying on the ground, reached out and grabbed them both by the ankle.
The Magnuses. Wizards from Norway.
Maddie started to pull her leg away from Philip, but he tightened his grip.
Look! They could turn up any second, and if I'm not touching you, you'll be stuck here with him again. You want that?
Maddie relaxed her leg, and she and Brewster offered Philip their hands, then helped pull him to his feet.
Thank you. Look, you say your parents are frozen. I assume you mean that they aren't moving, not literally.
The forms of the Magnuses began to materialize, but Philip and the twins teleported out before they fully appeared. Brewster, Maddie, and Philip appeared in a dimly lit room full of glass cases displaying trophies, athletic shoes, footballs, and more than one fedora, all neatly labeled with professionally engraved plastic cards. Before Brewster or Maddie had time to ask, Philip said,
The Packers Hall of Fame in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 1997. There's a game of what you Americans insist upon calling football underway. So everyone who'd come here is at Lambeau Field or at home, watching on TV. We won't be bothered. Anyway, your parents, they aren't covered in ice. They just can't move, yes?
Rooster said,
Oh, God. They aren't still awake, are they? Do they know what's going on?
Philip said,
Well, yes and no. I don't believe they're in any pain. It's hard to explain, and we don't have time now. The Magnuses will show up any second.
Maddie asked,
How do they know where you are? Did they figure out all the places you'd send yourself?
No, they knew when I broke the cycle and went back to your house to check on your parents and found you. Even if they did figure out the wheres, there's no way they could predict the whens. Besides, I've known the Magnuses for a long time, and figuring things out isn't their style. They must be monitoring my movements somehow.
So if you transport yourself, they know where you've gone?
Yes, so it seems.
Brewster asked,
Is it that they know where you are? Or that they know where you send yourself.
Philip shook his head.
What?
Maddie pointed at her brother and snapped her fingers twice in quick succession.
Yes, that's a good point. That's a very good point. What he's asking is, are they zeroing in on your location? Or are they seeing you teleport yourself and following you somehow? By monitoring you in your magic interface or something?
Brewster nodded vigorously.
Because if it's the second one, then if someone else took you somewhere and you weren't the one casting the spell, they might not see where you went.
Philip's eyes bulged.
That's brilliant! But who will we get to teleport me?
Maddie shook her head, pulled off her top hat, and stuck her hand in. 5 seconds later, the Magnuses appeared. But the twins and Philip didn't know it, because they were long gone.